I'm Benito, I'm an addict.
Happy New Year.
My clean date is 7/18/2003. Don't say that for bragging, just because this program works. Okay. But I normally take about 20 minutes, so give me about 20 minutes, and I like to start it with a, I'm just kidding. Of all the places I could be, and y'all could be, you get in rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and that's truly a gift. I remember years ago, I attended a meeting here in Houston. It was called Alive and Kicking, and I heard a older gentleman, one of our predecessors. I don't remember his name because that's been a long time ago. I had like 4 or 5 months clean, and he said, if you're here tonight, and there was a room full of people, and he said, if you're here tonight, he said, I want you to know and believe that you was handpicked by God to be here. God's got a message for us. Whoever that may be, I don't know. Whatever that's going to be, God will reveal that. I'm a firm believer of that. I was asked to do this Thursday night. I was still coming here, but I got a call Thursday night and asked me if I would fill in for, I forget the gentleman that was supposed to be, I think he was from Chicago or somewhere. But anyway, he didn't make it, so they asked me, and my sponsor always told me, you never say no to Narcotics Anonymous. You're always available, because y'all are available for me. And I'm glad I was able to make it here. Let me see if I can find the page. I think it's, what page was that on here?
100.
Is it?
I could be wrong. I don't have my glasses on.
What's that? Oh. 162. I had to go get my glasses too. That's why I was running a little behind. I'm not old. My eyes are. All right. I believe it starts here, unless I'm mistaken. I think he said that early in the process, we begin to learn the difference between freedom from free and freedom to. And it says, freedom from active addiction begins with not using today. That in turn gets us freedom to experience a new way of life, which may take us places we have never dreamed of, or restore dreams that had lost long ago. I can read on and read on, but bottom line, I don't know about you, man. I just ran into one of my predecessors, and I ain't seen him, 4 years now, I think. The last 2 or 3 years ago. I ran into that Jimmy C. I don't know if y'all know him or not.
Yes.
But I remember when I had a year clean, and I never heard of Recovery by the Sea. And I'm from Tiny's N.A. in Mesquite, Texas, but I'm originally from Dallas. But anyway, a bunch of people said, hey, we're going to go. And the last minute, everybody checking out. And so I said, hell, I've skitzed from California to Dallas, all over, thinking police is chasing my ass, right? And so, but anyway, I took off and came here to recover the body. See, I got off the car, and he noticed me, and he said, hey, you, come here. I went up there to him, and I said, yes, sir. He said, hey, man, guess what happened to me, sir? Sir, I don't even have a clue. I don't even know you, man. So I'm glad you asked. Well, I didn't ask him nothing. And he said, man, I quit doing drugs and my life got better. And you know what? I don't know what you call service, but that was service. When that man said, man, it gave me more hope to continue on this journey. And he told me I didn't have to do this by myself. I had a great time. I've been there. I've been recovered by the sea 18 years. I missed 1 year because I had had a bone marrow transplant because I was diagnosed back in 2015 with a multiple myeloma, and they told me that I might have 2 to 4 years, and that's been 7 years ago. So I don't beat the odds, right? And I'm gonna continue to do it. So you know, make a long story short, this chapter also is talking about freedom. When I got here, man, all I wanted was to do dope, stop doing dope. I mean, I wasn't thinking about getting my kids back, wife back, or any other stuff. Can I speak a little louder? I can. And, the cancer is behind me now. I'm in full remission, and my daddy died at 92, and I'm going to be 92 before I die. Maybe an older, but at least 92. Anyway, but what the hope said you gave me, man, is that, you know, I remember I woke up in an abandoned apartment in East Dallas, wearing a suit and tie. I was barefoot. It was cold and raining. And I normally drive a brand new car because I was a new car manager at a dealership, so I could drive anything I wanted. But I didn't have no keys, no car, no shoes. And on the shoes, I don't know if they were stolen or I stole them, because I used to do kind of shit like that. I don't know what kind of addict you are, but I go to the extreme, you know. Anyway, so I woke up and I hollered, "God, if you for real, please take me home." And I wasn't talking about 10 Lakeshore Drive. God gave me enough strength to walk out of that abandoned condominium. Abandoned condominium, that's what you call it, right? Anyway, so police pulled by, and I raised my hands, and he said, "Hey, man, why are you raising your hands?" "I'm ready." I said, "Ready for what?" "I'm ready to go to jail." He said, "We can't take you to jail unless you get a warrant." And I lifted up my pen. I said, "Look, man, I ain't been home in 2 weeks. I know I got a warrant." So anyway, I was sent to a treatment center, and then I went to a Lone Star Regional Convention. If you've never been, that's in Dallas, Texas. It's a big convention. It's awesome. And another addict was doing service work. She was at the registration, and she saw me and said, "Hey, you, come here." She went like that. And I was a little dog. I mean, what? Anyway, she said, "First time here?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "All right." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Oh, you still got manners?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And then she saw this one guy. And he was from Austin, and his name was Roman. He's done his job, and he was an awesome man. He took me downstairs. He bought me my first cup of cappuccino. And it wasn't because I couldn't afford cappuccino, but, hey, cappuccino's going to cost you $5. $5 or $5 worth of dough, some kind of dough, right? Anyway, so he told me a story how he had, last time he shot up dope, he woke up in an abandoned field in West Dallas, and Roman's like 6'2", some bigger guy, and he weighed 98 pounds pushing a grocery cart. But he said when he woke up, he noticed he had a card that says, "Have a drug problem? 1-800-NA-WORDS. And he said he just, God didn't put it in his pocket, and all of a sudden he said, he had 4 quarters. I said, "I know I gave that dope man every penny I had. I had about a bunch of pennies," and he counted out, you know. But he said, "A card with NA, 4 quarters, I think I need to call this number." And he called that number, and there was another addict doing the helpline. This is what service works about, right? I've done that for many years, answered phone calls. And I tell you, it's one of the hardest things to do for me is because I have 3 daughters, and sometimes they didn't know daddy was dead or alive for weeks. I didn't do dope every day, but when I did. I was on it, man. I was a binger, right? Another addict answered the call, and he said, "Hey, where are you, man?" He said, "I'm in West Dallas." He said, "Hey, hang in there. I'm about 15 minutes away. Don't leave. Don't hang up." And he kept going. Jimmy Pease was his name, the one that answered the call. He'd been clean for a long time. So anyway, he met a Roman, and he said to him, "I'm tired, man. I don't want to do dope anymore." So Jimmy P, what he did, he took him home, gave him some clothes, he fed him, and he said, "I'm going to make sure you make 90 meetings in 90 days. Talking about freedom. I don't know about you, man, but I love the newcomer. Because I can't do this shit by myself. I love the old timer. Because if the old timer hadn't gave handed this down to us, where in the hell would I be at? I don't know about you." My sponsor said, "I don't give a damn if a man's got 2 hours clean, you need to listen. Because he may give you a message, man, that might save your ass. I don't have all the answers, but I know how to listen. You know, my sponsor said, again, because I heard, I was having a meeting, it was on meditation, and he said, I told my sponsor, what's meditation, man? And he said, Benito, you want to learn how to do meditation? Come to a meeting, sit your ass down, and shut up. You might hear something from God or higher power, whatever you want to call it, that might save your ass. And I start doing it. I listen to anybody. You know what? My life depends on. My life depends on know who I'm hanging out with, what they're doing. Judge me, call it judging, whatever it is. This is to protect me. And hopefully that I can help them by sharing a message with them. To me, that's freedom. Freedom from active addiction. Now, I have the freedom today to either work a program or not. If you're struggling, I'm going to tell you what my sponsor said. Quit fucking struggling. You do what you know how to do. Pray, read the book, come to meetings, go to work, wash your ass, and help another addict. And the rest of it, leave it to God. And I tell you, man, the freedom I have today is that, man, I can get up and do whatever Benito wants to do. But I also get freedom, man, when I help another addict. And when I'm doing service work, that's helping another addict. I remember my sponsor, one of the first things he asked me to do, he told me, he said, Benito, come here, I'm going to show you how to make coffee. He said, I want you to become the best coffee maker in the state of Texas. You just meet him. My name is Benito. I'm the best coffee maker in the state of Texas. And when these old timers, man, these predecessors ask you to do something, it's not because they just want you to do something or have control of this, because this shit works. He told Benito, whenever someone comes to the coffee pot, you know, if you don't know them, introduce yourself and maybe you get a phone number, and that phone number might save your ass. And today I don't make as much coffee as I used to. But you go to my group and you drink the last cup of coffee, don't make no more coffee, I'm going to get on your ass. Amen. A cup of coffee can make a whole world of difference. I mean, it did to me and it does to others. And for me to do service work is freedom to me. It gets me out of myself and it keeps me plugged in the group. And service work, man, I tell you, this is where it's at, man. I tell you, if you ain't doing service work, you're robbing yourself, man. Shit, this is what opens your eyes, give you. Man, when you help another addict, man, and you see him finally, the eyes are wide open, and now they're able to see something and hear something, man, that's no more bigger high than that. I mean, to me, I don't know about you. I was taught that. I remember my sponsor never asked me, hey, Benito, do you want to go with us? No, Benito, jump in the car. Okay. Man, all of a sudden, I end up in jails, institutions, and all over this damn place. Louisiana. We went all pretty much every state around Texas I've been to. And we're carrying message in jails and institutions. And I do that because it gives me freedom. I tell you, man, it's pretty fucking awesome when you're able to walk out of prison. I remember the first time I walked in, crank, I said, oh, shit. I got flashbacks. I was in prison. You know, I went to prison when I was a very young man. I was 17 years old, got sentenced to 3 20-year sentences, and I did 6 years. I ain't never knew how to fucking ticket. And I got 20 years. I said, shit. But again, though, I mean, this is coming, you know, but in order to get this freedom, step one's the most crucial one. It's the most crucial. If you don't fucking surrender, this ain't going to work. If you can't do one, man, you ain't going to do 12. I promise you. I've been in so many meetings and in my group, man, and I tell you, I know what happens when people don't work the steps. I know what happens when, man, in the book it says somewhere that some of us come in and stay clean for a while, and as soon as we lose contact with another recovering addict, we eventually go back to full-blown using. You want freedom? Come to meetings. Take your fucking medicine. Excuse me. Did I say that? All I know, man, that I take it one day at a time. People are asking, Benito, you don't look sick. Aren't you worried about cancer? No. Why am I going to worry about cancer? Hell, that's another car may come and kill me. Okay. At this time, I ain't worried, but I'm just living day by day, doing the best I can. How can I help another addict? What can I do? Some people don't understand my story. You know, I remember this young lady from my group, she called me, Benito, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, what's up? He said, I've been mad at you for the last 6 months. What? Why the hell did you wait 6 months to tell me? You could have squashed this a long time ago. Then she said, I'm mad at you because you come in here and you share that you haven't had a bad day since you come to Narcotics Anonymous. I said, well, that's my story. Am I supposed to change it because you don't agree or don't understand? And I know some of us, how can that happen? I said, well, easy. I've had too many bad days. I don't need any more. Fuck, you want another bad day? You take it. But you don't have to. I have bad moments. I have moments, man, that hurt. When my parents died, yeah, it hurt. But then I look at it, well, wait a minute, because the way my mama lives, the way my mom believes and I believe, she's in a much better place. Why would I want to be selfish and keep my mom here, keep living in pain when she could go with her maker and be in peace, right? Mm. Even my kids, my brothers and sisters didn't understand that. That's not a bad day. We all got to go. We just don't know when. It's like me worrying about cancer. Well, shit, I don't know when I'm dying. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to be the best person I can. Because that's my job, is to serve others. The book tells me. That's our sole purpose, is to help another addict. Step 12 says, if you don't get away, you're going to lose it. I don't want to lose my life. I don't want my old life back. You know, I want my life back. Oh, yeah. I want a new way to live. That's what the promise is, right? We get a new way to live. And all we got to do is follow a few simple suggestions. I heard this gentleman earlier today, and he was talking about how he's been clean for a long time, and he said that now he's financially well set, and he says sometimes you got people that got 10, 20, or 30 years and don't still only put a dollar in the basket. Well, I ain't judging. But if you're making money, man, you should put money in this basket, because this basket helps you make that money. It's about giving back. I remember our group almost shut down when COVID hit. And everybody wanted to shut it down, and we found a way out. We went and talked to the judge, and the judge said, hey, man, as long as you follow these rules, like 6 foot apart and only have so many people, da-da-da, and you can stay open. But you got to wear a mask. Well, hell, I had my ass threatened a few times because I was telling me, put your mask on, dude, or we won't start a meeting. You can't do that. I said, well, to put this one, either we shut it up, either we put a mask on and we're going to take the risks that police or health department comes on to check on us, make sure that we got masks on. They'll shut us down and we won't have meetings. Well, we can go Zoom. Well, how many addicts, real addicts, or I don't know, I'm not going to say, how many addicts still have a phone? And today's world, probably a lot of them, maybe, or half of them. But when I was out there, man, I ain't had no damn phone. I done sold it. Y'all didn't do that? Yeah. I know I did. So how are they going to get to Zoom? Where's newcomers going to go to, facial meetings to go to? They're all shut down. One of my sponsors, he told me, we started meeting. I said, went up to him, said, hey, put your mask on. Arr! He started, I'm going to whip you. I said, you even tried to whip me? Not that I'm scared of you, but today I don't have to fight anymore. I just call the police and lock your ass up. Hey, because I ain't going to jail for beating your ass up, that's for sure. Anyway, again, I've got freedom of choice today. Before, I didn't. I don't know, the disease addiction, man, used to wake me up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Get your ass up and go get you one more. That's not freedom. Get your ass up, take your kid's piggy bank and bust that shit up and go get me some. That's not freedom. I was getting high against my will. I was doing shit that my mama didn't bring me up with. I tell you, today, man, I have grandkids. I may be there for them. And all because, man, I found out that if I help others do service work in my recovery, man, work some steps and give this shit away, I have a new way of life. It tells me I might change my ideas and attitude. I couldn't have done it with you guys. If you don't have a predecessor in your back pocket, you're missing out. You're missing out. Because if I left my own devices, I'll screw it up. I still go Monday through Friday. My home group is called Townies in it. Monday through Friday, you can catch me at the noon meeting. Monday through Friday, you can catch me at the 7:30 meeting. It's not because I have nothing else to do. There's a lot of things I could do. Because I've been clean 19 years, man, and God gave me the purpose for me to do it, and that's to help another addict. That's all our purpose is, man, help another addict. God, and everything is possible. Lost dreams are awakened. New possibilities arise. Man. This book is simple. I remember when I first come in, I had like 3 months clean, and I just left the treatment center, and I thought I had some really, really, I shared some really powerful spiritual message, right? And when I shared it, when I finished sharing, this old lady turned around and said, "Keep it simple, stupid, just don't use." What? Yeah, I'm talking to you, keep it simple. And man, I tell you what, and it's the truth, keep it simple. When I first meeting I got out, when I went to from treatment center, I went to the central group in Dallas, Texas. That's about 85% African American, and maybe 5 and 3% of Hispanic, if that many. And it was a Friday night, it was a jam pack. But they told me, Roman told me, as soon as you get out, go to a meeting. Get your sponsor. Get your book. Read the book. Do steps. Service work. Clean house. You two can find a new way to live. Well, as soon as I got out, I went straight to a meeting there, and there was an older gentleman, and he was a big old tall white guy, about 6'4", 6'5". Long beard, bushy beard, long hair, G.I. Joe outfit. Yeah. And, but, you know, I was sitting down, even at Roman told me, Benito, take the first. He told me, man, sit down where you can hear things. So I sat down like the third row, and I heard him say, that the first thing he said, that no addict have to die in the horrors of addiction. Any addict could lose the desire to use drugs and find a new way to live. And I finally heard that. I've been to many meetings before, but I never had a sponsor. I never even tried to get clean. And then he said, this is the magic thing, man, and don't go tell everybody unless they really want it. He said, if you don't go to dope house, you won't get high. Yeah, that's what you said. You're talking about keep it simple, right? He kept it as simple as hell. Don't go to dope house, you won't get high. And you know what? That little question there, man, meant a lot to me. I finally heard it. After so many treatment centers, thank God for sponsors. And my ex-wife had really, really good insurance, right? And I went to some of the best. I went to COVID, and that was pretty cool. No, it wasn't. We did, right? But anyway, all these little things, man, that sometimes don't make sense will make sense if you keep coming back. You know, I know people, man, that they could read this book and any book in Narcotics Anonymous, they read it like the back of their hand, but yet they struggle to stay clean. That don't make any damn sense. You got all this book knowledge, but yet you don't apply it. And it's really that simple, just for today. You don't have to stay clean for the rest of your freaking life. Just today, one day at a time. I understand that today. And that's what it took for me. All of a sudden, I know two or three days later after I come into Narcotics Anonymous, man, the obsession and compulsion was lifted. And the more I heard what you guys were saying, the more I wanted to be here. There's this other guy that him and I come in. He was like a month before me, and he was already sharing meetings, right? And I said, I want to do that. Well, my sponsor said, well, take a share person workshop. Back then, it was only 30 days. Now we got 6 months. But anyway, but this guy, I mean, I said, all right. So I signed up. I was signed up, and he, I couldn't sign up on his because he was already there. And I said, I'm going to beat this son of a gun, man. And this guy didn't have a car. He had to walk like half a mile or a mile. And he was always there more before me. And I had a car. And I tried to get there as early as I could. And that son of a gun was always there. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to share meetings. And so, but I tell you, I'm glad my sponsor did. When I first got there, he said, Benito, come here. I said, well, go sit down over here. You're going to co-share. Benito, oh, by the way, you know what, Benito? After the meeting or before the meeting, come in. I'll let you in and clean up the mop, sweep, rip. That'll help you stay clean. I said, what? Really? Yeah, I did. So I'll go in there and mop, sweep, and mop and clean everything, the bathrooms, men and women's. And I took pride in it. I made sure that thing was clean, right, and smell right. And you know what, man? And those times that I was there, man, it gave me an opportunity to get closer to God. I said, God, I don't know where you at, who you are. Please help. All I want is one day, God. And it has, even today. And yet, not only that, you want freedom, man, follow the program. It's written. It's so simple. It's got, in the basic text, it's got a book, this chapter is called Recovery and Relapse. My sponsor even told me, he said, boy, you've been here 90 meetings, 90 days, you have no reason to go use. You already got all the answers. Every day you read the answers. You read the solution. I just apply them. It really is that simple, y'all. You want freedom, do service work. Get out of yourself. I remember, I don't know if you ever done that, but in my addiction, maybe the latter 2 or 3 months, I stole my mom's turkey. I know what turkey is, right? So we eating Thanksgiving. So I stole it. Because it made more sense for me to go get it because I needed dope and my mama wasn't going to eat it. She was with my other sister in Irving, Texas. She had 2 turkeys and I got this big old butterball turkey, right? And I walked around McKinney and tried to sell it, and they wouldn't give me money. I said, come on, man. Like a $30 price out of there. And they gave me like a $10 or $5 piece of crack or dope anyway. Anyway, and I shared this with my sponsor. And that weekend, you know, for Thanksgiving, he said, Benito, what are you going to do for Thanksgiving? I said, well, I'm going to go visit my mama and my brothers and sisters in McKinney. He said, man, I'm going to give you a suggestion. He said, I remember you mentioned you stole your mama's turkey. I said, yes, sir. Why don't you give back? It's about giving. It's better to give than receive. You know, that doesn't make a bunch of sense sometimes, but I'll tell you, man, you cannot give God, you cannot give Narcotics Anonymous. My mom called me the day of and said, son, what time are you going to be here so we can set up? And I said, Mama, my sponsor told me that if I bring a ham or turkey or cheese dip or whatever and come and break bread with these people at Narcotics and at our group, because some of them, they're not wanted by their parents. They have nowhere else to go. So where else are they going to go? Hey, man, if I ain't eating and I ain't got no place to go, I'm going to go to Narcotics Anonymous because they're going to feed you real good at our group. So anyway, I told my mom that, and she said, Mama, my sponsor told me to take something and eat with them first and then come to you. It might help me stay clean. Son, you take as long as you want. He just stayed in there. Yeah, just do what you got to do. Again, I don't know about you, man. God's given me the spirit of discernment. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it does to me. I can see someone, and I can't tell you what you're going through, but I can tell something's bothering you. And if you're doing up no good, God going to discern me that too. So, man, I can feel that vibe. That's a gift. And I need that gift. Because I tell you what, man, something that looks good and not necessarily good. All I know that because of Narcotics Anonymous today, I have the freedom to. Bless you, sir. I remember for a while, everybody, sometimes people come, oh, shit, it's got COVID. anyway, what's wrong? Okay, we should have told me that.
Next time I should be like.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if you heard anything that might help you, but I tell you what, all I know that I'll stay clean today, man, and hopefully that see each other again. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much. I'm an addict named Christine. Hey family, I'm so glad that you were here. My friend Patrick S. in Chicago, he was called. So first off, I want to thank the programming committee for asking us to do this, because it is always so nice to be asked to do anything for Narcotics Anonymous. And so I have a couple of people that I love to hear share, and every time somebody asks me for speaker ideas, I always say Pat S., Chicago. We lived together for 18 months. He can talk like nobody can talk. And so when he was called to do this workshop, he said, well, I'll do it if Christine will speak with me. So thank you, Pat, very much. And I am very sorry you're not here. But I did get a really great message. I'm going to try not to cry. I know there's at least one person, I don't know who it is, but there's at least one person in this room that's probably newish, right? Because you're sitting in a workshop meeting at 4:45 in the afternoon, you know? I don't know what the rest of y'all are doing here, but there's at least one of you. Maybe there's 10 of you. Billy said she'd hold my thing, so... It's been going on with us for a long time, many, many years. I don't remember where I was, but anyway, so Billy is so distracting to me. So there's at least one person in here, right? That like maybe they don't even know if they want to be clean. Really glad you're here. I'm not supposed to cry today, y'all. Well, maybe I am. What do I know? Running nothing but my mouth. When I talked to Pat the last time, y'all, I said, Pat, I read our spot in the book. He's like, you're reading that? I was like, yeah. And he goes, that really surprises me. He said, because I'm just going to go in there and bullshit and then tie it back around to my topic. This guy is like, probably scores in the genius level, though, right? You know? And he's not as self-centered as I am. So I read and I took notes. My sister-in-law was like, do you want index cards? She doesn't really get this, even though my brother's got almost 2 years now. But anyway, so I read a lot about it, and I kept kind of getting hung up on that relationship between responsibility and surrender. Okay, because like Benita said, or maybe it was in the reading, because I did read it again. I went and found a quiet moment. You know, most of us didn't take responsibility seriously or even consider it right before we got to the rooms. And that is definitely my story. And sometimes it's really tough for me today. My clean date, by the grace of a loving and caring higher power, is January 21st of 1998, and it's the one thing that my friend Michael would say, you can't take away from me. I don't own my Toyota Corolla. I don't own a home right now. These clothes are hand-me-downs from my sponsor. I love her. But January 21st, 1998, that's my day.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm so grateful for it. But I have days where I think, damn, I sat here for, I'm going to be honest, for an eighth of his sharing comparing myself to him. Thank God God kicks in. Because I was like, girl, that's not what we do here. But I have a friend in this room that shared with me this summer at a camp out that my disease will take on its own recovery image. I'm paraphrasing. And when he said that, it was like a lightning bolt struck me in the chest. Because I struggle with that, right? I struggle with saying what's really going on, and I never want to tell y'all, I don't want to say never, because I work steps. So let me rephrase that. It's not easy to always tell y'all that I feel really uncomfortable in my skin sometimes, right? And so this last couple years for all of us has been extremely challenging. And thank you. Y'all, this is my dear, dear friend that passed the tissue. That's another dear, dear friend. Y'all, this lady's visiting us from Arizona. Anyway, right. Sorry. Y'all, when I was new in recovery, I tried to get people to say my name when they were speaking at the podium 5 or 6 times. Murray. Anyway, there's no shame in my game, but I'm gonna try to stay on task, y'all. So this last 2 years has been, it's been kind of tough. You know, about 3 years ago, almost exactly, I got laid off a job that I really loved, but it was running its course. The person that hired me was someone that met me in the rooms, and he thought I was perfect, right? And I knew him from the rooms. I thought he was perfect, super cute too. And we went to work together, right? He was my boss, and I was his employee. And I remember it was, I don't know if we were 2 months in, and I was like, he's just now finding out I'm human, you know what I mean? And then, of course, same, right? But I decided I am going to go to school and I'm going to become an esthetician, right? My mom had failing health. She had not been able to keep any weight on and lost weight until she was, 100 pounds and, 5'10" and, was never a petite lady. But long story endless, I was living with this beautiful lady right here. Brenda, and I'll say all your names. I will, in case you have that fetish I had. But anyway, I was living with Brenda, and she thought it was so brave. She must have told me that 3 times. She said, it's so brave. You're 54 years old, and you're just going to, go do something else. And I remember thinking how sweet it was every time she said that, And so I did that, and COVID came, and my mom finally got diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer, and I moved in with her, and took care of her, and the fellowship did what the fellowship always does, and the fellowship holds me up. But I wasn't good about saying, I did say this is really effing hard, right? You said the F-bomb, didn't you, earlier? I think somebody. We'll say somebody else's name. It was difficult. It was really difficult, but I went into this mode of, this is what you're supposed to do. There he is. This is what we do. He told me it was going to be really hard. That's Justin. And I wasn't honest enough about how hard it really was. And then my mom passed, and that was some big stuff. I have a lot of gratitude today. I've got to grieve for almost 2 years, and I've gotten to have so many people love me and hold me up. The fellowship does that for me. If you're the person or persons in here that's not sure if you want to be clean, like Benita said, you don't have to think about the rest of your life. I never say I will never use again. My mom said it. I will never forget it. It's my 10-year anniversary. She wrote stuff and stood up and talked. And and she said it out loud, too, that she just never looks for me to use again. I thought lightning was going to strike the home group, you know? But on this day, right here in this day, right, like it's maybe 5:30, I don't know, you know, you can hang out with us. I'm going to be here till 10 or 11. And then maybe you could just go home and go to bed, knocking on it today. I like it when y'all get to see me smile and laugh. That's my problem, but I'm going to get over that one day. And so then my mom died, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to go back to work for a little while. And then about exactly a year ago, I came back from meeting this lovely ladies with some of these lovely ladies, some more ladies from Arizona down there. Anyway, I'm going to get into too many names here in a minute. And I psyched myself up because that's what I do. And I got this great job, like my dream job as an esthetician. And while I was working there, I moved in with a sponsee in their little bathhouse, and I'm going to get an apartment, and, you know, I'm just, man, all this stuff just sticks up in my life, and that's not exactly the way that happened, right? You know, like we talk about, you know, we can make plans, right, but we can't decide what the outcome's going to be, right? That's that part where we surrender our will in our lives, right, and ask our higher power to guide us in our recovery, mm-hmm. you know? And we try to remember that the only promise is freedom from active addiction, right? Because it talks about that in this reading. I'm not going to read this, y'all. I was going to read y'all almost two pages and maybe stop between a paragraph and say something. Because Pat was going to come in here and say a bunch of real eloquent stuff. But, God, I'm glad you were here. I needed to hear everything that this gentleman had to say today. And so it's been an interesting 2 years. And October 13th last year, I called my sponsor and I told her, I'm obsessing about killing myself. And I am writing letters to my children in my brain because I want them to be relieved of any responsibility. You know, did so much to those kids. I had 6-year-old twins and a 9-year-old son that were pissed the fuck off on January 21st, 1998. It hurt. And I never want to cause them any more harm. And this program can give me the freedom to walk towards that goal. It's not that I'm not going to disappoint them again, but it doesn't have to be that hurt. And my sponsor said, I'm really glad that you called. And I said, I'm going to the doctor right now. I wasn't feeling well. And I had a sinus infection. I have one today. And then she had her sponsor call me. And I guess her sponsor must have had some experience, strength, and hope with where I was at. Because she started talking to me about, what are you going to have for dinner? And then she said, it's 4 something. Every place closes at 5. You need to hang up with me and call the closest place. Tell them what's going on with you. And mind you, everything was great in my life. I had my dream job. It was the first one I interviewed for. They loved me. I loved them. I was really great at sales. I've never thought of myself as a salesperson. You know, I got to put my hand on people, make them feel good. Pray for them. You can't always tell people you're praying for them. Because some things are just for us, right? And if they benefit, that's great, you know? But this fellowship gives me the freedom to say that I really don't want to kill myself, right? I really don't. I really want to live. Living scares the shit. But I don't have to do it alone. And if you're that one person or people in this room,
It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be scared. Because these people in this room, they're going to say, you want to go get coffee? They're going to talk about shit, and you're going to be like, what the fuck? But just sit there and drink your coffee. If they say, get in the car, we're going to a chili cook-off, get in the car and go to the chili cook-off. You know, if they say, get in the car, we're going to go to ASC or whatever, just get in the car and go, you know? I mean, if it's the worst thing that's ever happened to you, you can probably walk off from there, you know? So for the last year, I have been trying to take responsibility for my mental health and communicate a lot better about it. I got diagnosed with depression right after I got clean, and I was so mad. I was so mad. I cried, cried, and cried in my doctor's office. Like, I just got diagnosed with addiction in January. You know, I was like, now it's July, and you're telling me I got this depression. They're both chronic illnesses, treatable, not curable. I'm like, damn, this is some shit, right? But there's never been a loss for people that loved me that said, I'll be here with you. And I'll love you. And sometimes I might be depressed on the same day you're depressed, you know? But we don't have to use today. And there's just so much freedom in that. I moved in with my kids, y'all. I moved in with my kids the week before Thanksgiving. And that was the worst surrender, I swear to goodness. Because you don't ever want to need your kids for stuff. I mean, not when you're 56. When you're young and buff like this, right? You hear me? And so I moved in with them, and it was a lot of fun. I'm not going to talk a lot about that. And I'm hoping any minute now I'm going to get the 5 minutes. But it was interesting. It was interesting. I've currently been gone from there for 10 days. And, I am going to say, it took me 6 months before I realized I was the only freaking adult in that house that was not smoking marijuana. Y'all, I always don't want to know. You know, he does it, but she doesn't, you know? Yeah, that's a whole nother talk show. I'm going to be working on that. Because it's not my business, right? My business is to come here, do the things y'all say, keep working the steps, keep working on me, and be that example, right? I don't get to decide if they make it. That's why when the young people show up, which y'all know me, if you know me, I love on everybody, but I really like me some young folks in NA, right? Because if my child walks in somewhere, I hope there's somebody that loves some of them young folks up in NA. You know what I'm saying? But I feel that way, too, if you're older and if you're middle-aged. And, you know, Narcotics Anonymous gives me the freedom to love. I remember the nicest thing I think my sponsor has ever said to me, and she says some nice things to me. And my mom's been gone 2 years, so the payment plan's got to have stopped by now, right? But she said that I make her feel really loved. Right? And that comes from this fellowship. All my life, I think I just wanted to love and be loved. And the steps helped me to unlock that, right? To put down those things that say, well, I'm probably not going to share like he does about all this great service and whatever. It doesn't matter. Anything you talked about, my mom would have said something like that. And, and my mind just says, you know what? I get to be clean and free today. Which, that's God. But he talks to me a lot. He, she, it, whatever. I like this part in the book, too. It references, again, another part in our literature where it talks about the life flow of energy. Thank you, Billy. Woo! Girl! It talks about it in here. It comes out of Living Clean First was the first time I ever read it, but it references in here because this references everything, right? This is so good. And And to me, that's the God of my understanding. It's that life flow of energy, right? When I walked into the rooms and y'all said, we're glad you're here, right? And you guys said, I hope you come to the meeting again tomorrow night. And y'all said, let's go to the chili cook-off. Let's go to coffee, right? And let's make a meeting, at least a meeting a day, if you're new in here. If you're coming back, you know? At least a meeting a day. But again, just today, I mean, you can like think about maybe I might want to go here tomorrow night, but I just don't put dope in my body until I go to sleep tonight, right? So I'm all over the place. I don't know if this was anything on the topic or anything, but woo! Yeah! That's got to be God back there, right? Amen. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up by saying that I am so grateful, y'all. I processed another ninth step this week and was thinking about, on the way here tonight, was thinking about the way responsibility and surrender work in my life. I was thinking about the fact that I have a brother that's going to have 2 years clean, 45 days or something like that. What a miracle that is. I was thinking about when I can get really honest with my sponsor and tell her, you know, I have this depression and it kicks my ass sometimes, but I need you to kind of help me look and see if, you know, I don't want it to be an excuse that I have depression. You know what I mean? I don't want my character defects to get up in there and say, well, you're not doing X, Y, and Z because you're depressed, right? I want to be accountable. You know, I want my life to continue moving forward. As long as I'm this buff, I don't want to live with my kids again. You know, I like to go stay the weekend. I like to hit the front door and the kids and the dogs and everybody yells, Gigi, and we all go crazy, you know, because that's a good time, you know. But I remember what it was like to be high around my parent who wasn't high and hate myself for it. And so I've got to see that on my kids here recently. And they're doing much better than I was doing at their age. So I used to tease them. I used to say, after you're 31, that's when I got clean. Well, the twins are 31. But they still have all the things for the most part. They're not living in a motel room. And it's their business, right? I just need to keep doing what I need to keep doing for me. And if they ask me, because sometimes they do, sometimes they want to talk about recovery with me, right? A lot of times they want to talk about their sibling needing recovery with me. One of my children, she says because she grew up in the rooms, all her friends call her and she counsels them. That's my kid, y'all. That. And I get all that. I really do. I'm just grateful to be clean. I'm grateful to get to ask to do this stuff because I like to do this stuff where you get to put on a lot of makeup and act crazy. Like the drag show last night, like that was a really good time. I don't always like to sit and see. There's so many people I know in this room I couldn't have freaking Patrick. I'm just going to bullshit a bunch of stuff then tie it around to the topic. And anyway, I love y'all. We're going to get out of here and have a good time the rest of the weekend. And if you're the newer person, you don't have to really expose yourself to anybody that you're the newer person. But if you're in here with somebody that you know is the newer person, man, take them to coffee. Take them to the chili cook-off. You know what I mean? Tell them how glad you are they're here. See if they have a plan to make a meeting tomorrow night. Maybe you'll go with them. Grab coffee on the way. You know, just one day. Days add up. I love y'all. Thank you so much. Thank you.